joined by Boone Mayor John Slide on our program. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Good morning.
And we are into the final month.
We're doing it.
Of the calendar year.
Yep, we are.
So far, minimal on salt and sand usage. Yep. We did have to use some.
We did.
And they did. They were out there. I know last week had the interview with City Administrator Bill Scare. Waylon Andrews joined him, talked about snow removal. And again, how many times you say, we don't want to tow your car.
We do not want to tow cars. We don't. It's just so much work. when we put the snow ordinance into effect, you know, we give plenty advance notice. But here's what takes the time. We've got our municipal infractions officer ahead of the crews, and we're trying to get cars moved. If there's cars on the street, we've got to, you know, they get a ticket, then they tow it. We don't want to do that. So it just takes a lot of time. So if you have questions on how it works, just contact us at the city. It's on our website.
If you got a cell phone and you get text messages
at
no charge, you can get signed up and you get that text message.
You will get a text that tells you whether it's residential, what time it's going to start, if it's business, what time it starts. You'll get a text that tells you when the snow ordinance is over. I mean, it is nice. It's a nice feature.
And we do a lot of it here, but again, it's just a matter of you try to put as much of it out as possible, and people just
Every year I get a couple calls. You towed my car. Well, I didn't know anything about it. Well, between the radio station, our website, our numerous announcements that are made, goes out in the water bill at times reminding people. Other than us knocking on your door and saying, by the way, we have a snow ordinance, which we're not going to do.
I always tell people, I said, if you get that notice, make sure your neighbors know about
That's
it,
right.
too.
That's right, yeah. And, at some point, you have to know your surroundings a little bit. So we don't want to tow cars, and it seems like we end up towing the same ones once in a while, and we shouldn't. It's just
bottom line is it's all about efficiency, and again, trying to get the most things you can with the. Again, you don't have the biggest crew in the world.
We don't,
and you do want to do it as cost effectively as you can.
We're running with less people, and we're doing a better job. I mean, we're actually going from curb to curb, cleaning these things. Years ago, you'd see where we'd go around the cars, we'd hit a car, you know, just a lot of different things.
I always hated when you'd go by and then all of a sudden I had that pile I had to try to get around or get out of.
Get out of, yeah. And I used to watch people dig out. I'm like, geez, tough deal.
You know, I saw the big snow in Buffalo. I don't want to do any of that.
I can't even imagine that. But, we're running with less crew. We're more efficient. We do a better job. But this ordinance has helped us do that, so it's why we did it.
And I've seen actually, not just here, but you look even at other communities in the county level, you got bigger equipment to be able to do this. And again, if you've got vehicles on the streets, it's just difficult
it makes
to
it
work
tough.
Around.
And then obviously it depends on the time of the snow. You know, we try to keep the emergency lanes open throughout the day. You know, a lot of times I'll get a call, hey, they haven't done the side street yet. Well, we're going to get to it. It's probably going to be later. But we try to keep the emergency lanes open, the main, you know, the Story, Mamie, areas around the hospital, the schools, those types of things. And we try to keep them cleaned up. Then at night, the crews usually go out.
Yeah.
But you got to remember, we only have so much staff. So if somebody's worked all day.
You can only work so many
hours
at a time.
That's right. And often we'll send some of them home because we know they're going to come out at night. But they do a great job. They're.
Well, again, that's just the reminder because we might see some of that this week. But in the meantime, moving ahead, again, pretty light agenda for your meeting last night, but you had a couple of good reports.
We did.
Got a chance to hear a little update on what's going on, Chris Blocker with CVB.
Yep.
Again, how their year went, some of the things that went on, and you know, when she started covering some of the all the different things that had taken place that, as far as tourism they were working with.
Yeah.
And you look back at it and you go, wow, it was a busy year.
Very busy. It really was. So you had Farm Progress, you had Super Nationals. And then she talked about our hotels and the capacity rates that they ran, which were high. They were over. Typically, if you're over 50%, which is good, ours were at 67.5. That was at Cobblestone.
Yeah.
And then she talked about other things like the Rail Express, huge.
Rail Explorers coming in,
a huge thing for Boone. And they're talking some good questions last night. Well, when are they going to open? So you know, they went into November, which was
a lot later than they thought.
And it got cold. So, but it just shows you people in the Midwest will bundle up and go.
They generally called us crazy.
Yeah, they did. So that'll get going again in March, weather permitting. And that'll run through the summer and probably back into November again, weather permitting. And then she talked about Boone and Scenic Valley Railroad, how their numbers are way up now after COVID.
Yeah.
And the Boone Municipal Band, which is often not talked about about tourism, but it brings in a lot of people to our community.
Oh, sure.
And always been a huge success there.
And they got back to their regular season, too.
Yep. So. Mamie Eisenhower Birthplace, they talked about it, how that's really picked up. Ledges kind of speaks for itself, just a beautiful park that is people from all over come to.
And a huge, huge Supernational.
Supernational, largest car number they've had, which is, it was over 1,000 cars.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Outside of one little rain shot in there, otherwise, it would be pretty good.
All that happened in little Boone, Iowa.
So
that's something.
Very busy, a lot of things going there. And then she did talk a little bit about, because you guys had basically turned over responsibility for the green space and putting together some programming and already getting people lined up for next year.
That really turned into a huge success. That went to Friday nights once a month, and they call it Nights on the Green, and different bands play. There's food trucks there. There's a little beer tent set up. It's really neat. And the thing I noticed was it brought a lot of families. It wasn't just people up there hanging out with. I mean, there was a lot of family. It was really family-oriented, which we were very pleased with. So
they had a lot of partners come together.
They did. They really did. So, and she's already being contacted for next year's events already. So that's great. Yeah.
And then you also had Mike Hammond come in from the chamber. A little update, chamber, and pretty excited about some of the things that are going on in the community.
They were. He's kind of updated us on what's going on in the city of Boone County. And as far as he kind of plays a dual role with Boone Economic Growth and the chamber. So gave us some updates on some things that have happened, groundbreakings, businesses coming, and did a nice job. And their focus is really on Main Street, which was we didn't get this time, but hopefully in 2024. And so,
did talk a lot about some of the projects and some of the things that are going on.
Yes.
We'll touch a little more on that. But he also introduced Jennifer. Jennifer came back.
Yep, Jennifer Hansen. She's now working with the chamber. He's been running by himself for a while there. He's
a little stretched, a little thin.
And so he was pleased to make that announcement. And she's been back for a couple weeks now. And we look forward to working with him. Yeah. So
one of the other things that came up, and this is really, it's part of the city, but Jamie Williams on hand, the annual report for the library, which basically they use as they start to put together their budgeting and ideas. And man, was there... there was a lot of information there.
She always puts together the best reports, but it talked about numbers, the programs they're doing, their finances, you know, which is always, you know, it's getting towards budget time. It is a challenge.
And we'll talk about general fund in a second.
Yes, we will. And there's just a lot of things, but she does a great job over there. She has a great staff. The board does an excellent job overseeing that. And, I mean, it's just...
Some of the other thing programming that they're coming up with is
a lot of
good
programming.
Again, not necessarily just come in and read a book.
Right.
No, they want you to do that. But some of the online things.
A lot of online things. Yes. Now this community should be proud. We have a very good library. It's well run, and get a lot of compliments on it.
And we've got a full board again.
We do.
I think
we're back.
They do. One of the big things, well, as we get into goal setting and budgeting and things like that are going to be coming up, we know they have some infrastructure needs.
They do.
We've talked about infrastructure needs at the wastewater plant, at the water plant. Touched on that with City Administrator Bill Scare last week. But we've hit on it several times anyway, too. But they also, again, their building is getting old. The pool is getting older.
Just a lot of things.
The library is getting older. And you got some infrastructure things you need to take care of.
It's a constant battle with these older, aging facilities. Now, some people think, like, our water and wastewater aren't that old. Yes, they're aging. And we've identified that with photos we've brought in. Library, no different. They've got some air handling issues that are very expensive. I think it's $230-some thousand that needs repair. And but we're looking at those, and we will get those figured out. Those are a must fix type thing, and so
it's got to be done.
You can't keep kicking the can down the road. You got to fix these things, and you got to have a plan in place. I always say this: you need to have maintenance plans in place to take care of these things and spend the money, a little money now each year. But now we get to a point like this where you got to fix it.
Some of the things, and I know people bring this up, and this might be something more that we could visit with Andrea about too, but as when you came on, one of the things that you guys started doing was doing depreciation accounts.
Yes.
Starting to put money. So you do show dollars in reserve, but those dollars are really for taking care of some of these issues.
They are. I've had people say, geez, you guys sure have a lot of money in reserves. We do. But you're right, that's what it's for. It's for maintaining, it's for future projects. A lot of that money's earmarked already, you know, for future things, you know, capital improvements, those types of things. So a lot of that money's earmarked. So when I hear people go, oh, they got all this, we have money in reserve, but the people, I think, should be proud, because if we have a major event where, okay, we need $100,000, we got to pay for, you know, a huge water main or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, big break or
something. Big break. We've got the money to fix those things rather than all of a sudden freaking out and have to bond for it and just passing it. You know, you're just kicking it down the road. And so I use the fire truck, for example. We saved and saved and saved. We wrote a check for $648,000 for a new fire truck.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty good, rather than just, okay, well, we need one. How much do we need to borrow? We saved money, paid for it, and those are the types of things that we've been trying to do. But as you talk about these older facilities, it just takes a lot of money.
Sure.
Especially when you get into water and wastewater. I've said this for years. It's probably the most expensive, out of sight, out of mind thing that we have, because you don't think about it.
Sure. Well, we do know that we've got a few other things that came up last night, and one that I know that Mike Hammond got real excited about was City Administrator Bill Scarce said he's working with your economic development folks, which would be Ames EDC.
Ames, yes.
And again, one of the reasons that you started, you really wanted to get somebody in that position, and they have been really good to help you.
Yeah.
They are really great at doing this grant.
They're the best.
Locating grants and helping you secure them.
Yes.
In particular, he's talking about one for a drivable community through the DOT. This would be
$250,000.
This could be a big, and again,
and this money.
This is one of those things that really you've been kind of looking at, where do we go and how do we approach this?
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about the downtown and possibly a mill and overlay. Let's do the whole downtown. It's expensive. I mean, we're talking upwards of $10 million possibly. But this grant is $250,000, no community match, which is really nice. And the grant is designed for basically engineering, architecture, that type of thing, putting the plans together to say, here's what we got. Okay, so which is expensive. Anytime you get into engineering and drawings and those types of things, it's very expensive. But you also need that in place if you're going to move forward and apply for additional grants to try to get these projects done. So actually, former Councilman Picklap, who used to be on the council, who was fantastic, is now with Ames Economic Development. He found this grant and asked if we'd be interested in applying for it. And so absolutely we are. So
we'll see, because you are looking at doing some downtown things. And again, not just for the Main Street things, but
I can't speak highly enough about Ames Economic Development for the city of Boone. They've done so much for us, you know, and we were criticized early, you're spending this much money to have them. But look at the money they've already brought us. I mean, the Boone News, the Boone News Republican Catalyst Building, the Catalyst Grant, they're just constantly digging up different grants and finding things for us that I can tell you we probably wouldn't have found. So.
And they are working on another Catalyst Grant for you as well, too.
So. It's really good.
And, you know, I know some people say, well, don't you have people that can on staff that can write these grants?
No.
Well,
they don't have time. Don't have time. I mean, our staff, and we're going to talk about this tonight in goal setting, is our staff is so busy because we run very lean. Actually leaner than we really probably should be. And particularly like police department, for example, we're down 3 officers. It's hard to hire. Every department, it's just hard to hire people right now. So when we lose somebody to a retirement or they go to a different department or whatever, we spend so much money and so much time trying to hire people, and so we'll talk about that tonight at our meeting. Let's narrow down how many goals you want, because the thing I learned years ago, I didn't mean to jump right into goal setting, but the thing I learned years ago is if you have too many goals, you never get them done.
Mm-hmm.
Pick three, maybe four really good goals that you want to see done, and let's make it happen. So
let's talk about that. Tonight is, again, this is the annual goal setting.
It
and
is.
You sit down and take a look at what your current goals are. Now, mm-hmm. I will say, of those, you have a couple of them that are probably not going to get done in a year's time. Codification.
That's a huge thing.
It is.
That's re-looking at all the codes and all the, you know, which needs to be done. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. We kind of do it in increments when we do things. You know, this probably needs change. We change things. But to do an overall view
what's
of the
in
whole
there,
thing,
what's outdated, what needs to be updated.
It's very time-consuming. Mm-hmm. We're going to look at goals, which my first goal, I've done it for years now, is
let me guess.
Go ahead.
Would be nuisance abatement.
Yes. I have always, because for years I didn't get this, and I finally kept it in there, and that's tearing down these old properties, these old rundown houses that are sitting in the middle of a nice neighborhood. The people call all the time, what are you going to do with that house? There's raccoons running in and out of the thing. You know, I get these calls a lot, and I'm like, I agree. It takes time, but we're getting pretty good at it. We're working with either the property owners, or the banks, whatever the case may be, either purchasing the property, tearing it down, or we have a plan in place where they will pay so much if they get it tore down. We may end up with the property, and it's what we call infill. So mm-hmm. we get these old properties out of there. Maybe a new house is built in there. And I can tell you, I get calls from people thanking us. Thank you so much for getting that house tore, because it drives their property values down. So that's a big one for me. Let's keep doing it. You know, because if we get away from it, my fear is we won't come back. And then, you know, there's a lot of communities out there that have a lot of abandoned houses that just sit there.
So, and that's something you guys made a commitment to.
We did.
If the dollars are budgeted for it, let's leave them there. And you have been going through.
We would always get to the end and go, well, where are we going to cut? Because we have to cut. And we'd always cut out of that area, and it just drove me crazy. So,
well, you do have goals for the current year, you still have 6 months
to
go.
Yeah.
So some of those are, you know, you get updated. Some are already completed. Some you're still in the process of working on. But you do kind of limit. That's one thing you've done is try to keep it to about four or five.
You just it depends on what the goal is. You know, if it's something fairly simple, sure. But if it's costly, time-consuming, well, the codification thing, I wouldn't want too many of those.
Yeah.
And
The one thing you did is kind of bring back walkability.
Yes.
Can we put together a program again to make some assistance available for sidewalks?
Sidewalks, right, which nobody's applied for yet, and which I get it. But those are the types of things. Yeah, you mentioned sidewalks. Now we talk about new school sidewalks. There's just – so the sidewalk thing comes up about every 5 to 10 years. I know way before me when you were on it came up.
It's been there before.
It has, but that's just one of the things we deal with. And – but we'll look at certain goals and certain priorities. You know, I know seems like the last couple of years we've really had a focus on downtown. If you remember, we tore down the old Giggling Goat, the old building.
628 story.
628. Yeah. That was up there, and we got it done.
A high priority.
It was a high priority. We got it done. Now it's sold. May not be what everybody wants. I'm very pleased with it. But those are the types of goals that, you know, otherwise it'd still be sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
Empty. Just run down, you know.
So, and then I know what you do is you kind of, among other things, you do take a look at your goals, and then Andrea does a little financial update for
you. She does, yes.
Kind of puts you in a position, like if you are coming up with a goal or a plan or something, we are the dollars there to be able to do it.
Exactly.
So, and that's going to be another challenge.
It is.
But, and then you let the council pretty much brainstorm. And,
we
and
do.
And I know you'll have We've nuisance abatement.
We've had some great ideas come out of those goal settings. Oh, so. Yeah. You know, and I remember when I first started, we hired somebody to come in. Well, it was Tim Shields with the Iowa League of Cities.
Yep.
And he'd come in and hang papers all over. I go, hey, you know, I think we can do this. So we've done it ever since instead of paying somebody to do it. But it really brings, the council and the department heads and it quickly, you can see what rises to the top quickly on what their priorities are. So I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, a lot of it, I mean, a lot of them are just constantly ongoing goals.
Yeah.
Things like that you kind of build in. You're going to get nuisance abatement into that ongoing.
I'm going to get it in there.
One of these days. So that'll be going on tonight. And then basically this just gives you, these goals don't really take effect until really in July.
Right.
Even though staff may start to work on some of them.
They will. Our city administrator, Bill Scare, is awesome. I mean, he will not just shelf those goals and go, whatever. He's on them. We get updates through the year where we're at on the goals. So I appreciate that. He just does a great job, but he's on top of them. So
that's it. You get the little reviews as the year's going on, what we've accomplished and what we're working on. So that's going to be a big one tonight, getting that done. I did want to talk a little bit about on the downtown side of things, another applicant for the BDIF.
Yes.
And we do have dollars available there.
We do.
And you've had a lot of, I mean, that's one thing that's been very noticeable. Yep. A lot of businesses are stepping
up. They're taking advantage of it. It's really helping the downtown. This one's at H&R Block. They're going to do a walkthrough Friday morning. So they came last night. I showed up a little late prior to the meeting, but I kind of caught what their plan was. It'll be nice. And they thanked the council. They said, we appreciate you having a program like this that we can, you know, but they're going to spend some money and it's going to look good when it's done.
All right. A couple of other things this week. The ribbon cutting for the overpass may not be open right away. The DOT says we will be open in December. They just didn't give us an exact date. I think they got a few odds and ends they want to finish up on, but man, surprised it. I know that was one of those things you guys got out and pushed to get it done early.
Worked very hard on that project, traveled the state following the DOT commission, pushing ARPA. Now, keep in mind, not one inch of this is in city limits. So people say, well, why are you participating in this? Well, it's a safety issue for us. It's getting these trains moved out to the east so our crossings are open so we can get police, fire, ambulance, those emergency vehicles to and from the north side to the south side in a timely manner. You know, we've just got the viaduct. Well, our fire truck doesn't fit under that. So, I mean, those are things we deal with. And I remember chasing the DOT commission and telling them about the different stories, kids pulling their bike under a train. We had one of those.
Yeah.
It's alarming.
So and we do hope that part of this is that they'll be able to gradually shift traffic more to the east.
They better. Because I mean, we worked hard on this. And the I really thank the DOT commission for bumping this project up because they were looking a few more years down the road. It was actually in a five-year plan.
Yeah.
And so they've helped move this thing. But we'll work with the railroad. And, you know, I'm sitting here this morning watching, I see Green's open, but the rest of it, you know, Story's closed.
Not anymore. No, I'm looking over
your shoulder. Is it closed too? Right. So that's a battle we fought for. I fought this forever, and the people before me fought it. And I say this, if we lose somebody because we can't get a police or fire truck or an ambulance to the north side, there's going to be some upset.
Yeah.
And rightfully so.
Yeah. Okay, so out there on Highway 17, which made it easier because of volume of traffic and DOT being involved, people do want, they keep saying, well, that isn't going to do us any good on the west side of town. The issues you have are not only engineering related, but the volume of traffic.
The cost is huge, and I have always wanted one on the west side. I said, we need to. So we looked at it. You guys looked at it. I looked at previous plans when I became mayor in 2004.
Remember the one over Green Street?
Yes, I do. And looked at these plans, and the problem is, obviously, number one, the cost. And what we found was using the economic development angle to drive this thing on the east side really helped. I mean, we went out years ago to DC, hired a lobbyist, you know, I mean, I think we spent $120,000, got $1.2 million or more.
Mm-hmm.
But we used it for economic development. We're going to drive businesses here and create jobs and those types of things. On the west side, that's not the case. It's residential. And trust me, if we had the money, I'd love to put one there. But it's also you'd have to acquire so many properties, and there's just a long list of things that go with that. So hopefully this will help get those trains from blocking, you know, on
keep the grade
Division
crossings
and
open,
or whatever streets, I guess we close Carroll.
Yeah.
And all those ones that are we need to keep them open.
Sure.
And they're telling us if this overpass is built and when it's done, they'll be able to move everything out, because these trains are 3 miles long.
Sure.
That's another part of the problem.
Yeah, they cut down on frequency, but they're long, very long. Anyway, those are some of the things. Anyway, we do have the opening, or that will be coming
ribbon
up.
Cutting.
Ribbon cutting will be going on for that.
2 p.m.
Collaborative
Wednesday.
Effort. Again, that's one thing the DOT noted is quite a collaborative effort.
Yep, worked with the county. Fairway, we played a huge role in this. Their truck's set. If you could watch the video that they put together years ago that shows all their trucks lined up waiting for to get across, and there's not even a train there, it'd just blow your mind. So this will help all the businesses out in that area. It gets the traffic moving. It should be a much safer environment as
well. How many times is it going out on to the east all the trucks lined up at Quartz?
Yeah. And there's a train setting 10 feet from the thing, but they won't open the, I get it.
Yeah.
But it's costly for those businesses as well.
It's one of those things that's been a while coming, so we'll see how it works. But anyway, that's going on, collaborative effort there. Oh, I was going to throw in one time. We didn't hit on it last time, but we do have a new building official that'll be taking over the end of January, I think.
End of January, yep.
Okay.
So Dave Aides, who currently is in our municipal infractions office, but has been working with our building official for the last almost year probably, really getting up to speed. We knew this was going to happen eventually. Ed was going to retire. We're losing a lot of, Ed.
A lot of expertise.
Yeah. The guy, so we're going to really miss him. He's got Dave up to speed, and Dave will slide right in and do a great job. And I think knowing Ed, if we need to get a hold of him or help us with something, he'd be glad to. So, right. But yeah, now we'll have to fill the municipal infractions.
Yeah. Oh, well. We do have, once again, a special meeting for the council is coming up this evening, 6 o'clock. It's going to be at the police department. In the conference room.
Yes.
Again, it's going to be their goal-setting session. And then once you roll out of this, you start to hit the beginning of the year. And you get a lot of... Now, I did want to hit on some of the things that... but we're running out of time.
Okay.
But when we get into budget, and this is going to be one of those issues, you've already... I know Andre Almquist already brought this up to the council, let you know... that some of the
shortfalls
yes. that were anticipated 4 or 5 years ago are going to start to show up.
They are showing up, and we've anticipated this. We've budgeted for this. We're working on this. We know there's less money coming, but that's something we've watched. We've watched it closely. We talked about it 5 years ago.
Sure.
This is going to happen. The state's not going to backfill this. They're not going to do this. But that all affects us and how it affects our general fund. Yeah.
And not just us, but this is going to be
statewide
impact.
Right.
Yeah.
So when you talk general fund, you're talking police, fire, parks, library, those things. I mean, it's a lot of money. And so when I first started, one of the biggest issues was that general fund. I mean, we really struggled at times. So we've tried to work hard to fix a lot of those things. We've anticipated this coming. So I have a lot of faith in our finance officer and our city administrator and our staff, so we'll be okay, but we're ready for it, too.
So it'll be a little tougher work
Yes.
Through this time. Boone Mayor John Slide, a guest on our program today. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.